Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
Well, let's talk about baptisms last week. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? 35 people went down one way and came up brand new. They came up one, two, three, what? They came up what? Brand new. If you know, you know. That's when people went down, the crowd began to cheer, brand new. Beautiful. And those 35 people that got baptized, y'all, I was so impressed by their hearts and how they began to share why they went down. Why did they get baptized this time? And it was beautiful. I was so encouraged. And we rolled in deep. I was like, I cannot believe the amount of people that weren't even getting baptized or wasn't there to see somebody get baptized. How many of y'all showed up? And then you cheered. You were as excited as if it were you. And it was so, so good. Michelle Watson, at least wave. Michelle Watson. She posted later on that day, well, we're a lot interrupting everybody else's party. There were people there to grill, to have a good time, to swim, and enjoy themselves. And what ended up happening is this army with Christian music blaring and with people going down and people around just got out of our way. I mean, there were people in our spot. I'll claim it right now, prophesy that in Jesus' name. But they were there where we were gonna get baptized and I watched them move off to the side. And after we were done, they moved back over. Such honor. When Jesus is somewhere, everybody's life changes, right? And so Maitland was out in the water. I'm going to go ahead and bring her on up. And she was doing video, and I just want you to hear what she got to hear, and it blessed me.
I got it. Are you sure? Oh, I got it. All right, well, so first of all, when we walk down, I just kind of want to set the scene. Like Pastor Mindy said, everybody's out there grilling, cooking, drinking. I mean, just having a fun summer Sunday day. Obviously, they weren't at church, so that kind of just sets like, okay, maybe they don't believe, maybe we don't know like their history, their past. So it was just a moment of like, thank you, God, for having this place so crowded for us today. So I go out to the creek to do videos and I'm videotaping everyone get baptized. And there is this girl who's on the hill, who's sliding down and she kept climbing up the hill, cheering everybody on. You got this, you got this. She was not with our group. She's cheering everybody on, clapping, praising. Well, then I'm like, I'm going to get a video of everyone behind us. So I start looking behind us. And I'm like, oh my goodness, there's people in their floats, swimsuits, holding beers, cans of, I don't know. And they're all just standing there watching in awe, clapping. And they're just like, I heard one girl go, I'm crying over all these people I don't even know. And I'm just like, that is, I kept looking at Tamia and Amy who were up there with us. And I'm just like, in such shock and awe that, like I said, we don't know if these people believe. We don't know their story. But the fact that they were there, like everybody's yes that day was not just for you. That was a seed planted in all of them. And then Tamia and I kept getting splashed. And we look behind us. There's a few of like our city kids in there. with other little kids in their swimsuits. So I don't think they were with us. And they were baptizing them behind us. And we're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. They're literally playing baptism right there. One little girl's like, I want to be baptized. And then I don't know who, she had Our City Kids on. She's like, go ask your mom. Where's your mom? It was the sweetest thing to experience all those people watching and cheering. And it didn't matter who they were, their walks of life, what they were there for, what they got to experience. And God used us to help plant. That was beautiful. And we left a little early that day, actually. And as we're walking, who was there? You know, it's kind of a little bit of a walk to get to the park. We were at the park. We could still hear brand new all the way almost to the parking lot. It was just beautiful. So I just wanted to share if you weren't there or those who were there but were not able to focus on anybody else. Everybody there at the creek was watching.
Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, it's the testimonies that win people's hearts. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And those 35 people's testimony was beautiful last week. Our church's life verse is Ephesians 3:20. And it says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can think or imagine, according to his power in his work in us. And I believe God did exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could think, ask, or imagine. Because we prayed, we asked, but God blew it up even more. So if you got baptized last week, we are doing a baptism celebration for you and your significant other on Sunday, September 7th, right after church. We're going to feed you, and we're just going to love on you and kind of bring you into the family a little bit more. Be on the lookout, because we're going to email you all the details, all right? I want to preach a message today called, I Just Got Baptized. Now what? Anybody feel that last week? I just got baptized. Now what I do? Now what I do? Let's pray. Father, thank you first and foremost for what you did in lives, not just the people that got baptized last week, but our church and everybody that was there. Lord, we celebrate you. Thank you for what you did. And Lord, I pray that you anoint my lips today, that I would not speak anything that you haven't put in my heart today, and that you would help us to understand that we're not done. We've not arrived. There's more. We love you today in Jesus' name. Well, I don't know about you, but who's been on a holy high this past week? Holy high. And our prayer Monday at staff meeting is that us, you that got baptized, and our church family will steward what God did. Because it can't just be a thing. It has to be a lifestyle change, right? A heart change. And so we've got to steward what God did. But I want to give you a warning. You absolutely must keep your eyes wide open. Because the Bible tells us our enemy, the devil, is prowling around to seek who he may devour. And he wants you that just got baptized because he thinks you're not strong enough yet. So he's going to come in and he's going to tempt you and he's going to try to pull you off path. But I want to say to you today, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and you just watch him show up because he's not devouring you. I'm going to be reading today in Matthew 4. And Jesus, when he got baptized, he immediately went to the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And I'm going to start with verse 1, and it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God. Tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, I will give it all to you if you will kneel down and worship me. Get out of here, Satan. Jesus told him, for the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. And guess what? Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. If the enemy came to tempt and try to throw Jesus off course, why do you think he's not going to try to do it to you? Those of you that were baptized last week, and some of you who've given your life to Jesus, you've felt the attack. Here's what happens. You say yes to Jesus, and there's this big target on your back. And the enemy wants nothing more than to throw you off course because he's mad. He's like, just lost another one. And I'm prophesying that over every single one of you today. He just lost another one. He just lost another one. He can't have you. He can't tempt you enough. He can't mess with your mind enough. He lost another one. And now that you know what to expect, you know how to fight. Okay? So there are three things we can learn from this story of Jesus. Number one, the devil and his demons know the word too. The difference is he's not doing it to speak life. He's doing it to take the word and twist it and turn it and get you to come off course. So he'll say just enough. He'll lie just enough. He'll speak over you just enough that you believe him. And the very thing that God did in your life, you're going to be thrown off course. In the text, the devil went after Jesus's identity. Did you hear that? If you are the Son of God. The word if always brings doubt. If I could just make enough money. If I could just get that job, I know if my friends and family would just suit up and show up to church on Sundays, that God would do something in their lives. If always creates doubt. Did you hear doubt in all of those? If you are the Son of God, if you could just make an, it's doubt. So don't let the devil talk you out of what Jesus did in your life. And since he knows what the Bible says, the first thing that you need to do is you learn what the Bible says. The only way that we can fight him is through the word, because the word does not return void. We can speak our thoughts and our heart and all that, but the word does not return void. The Bible says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So when you're going through something, just Google that and say, depression scriptures. And it'll pull them up, and you begin to pray the word. You begin to speak the word. Whatever those are. Number two, you need to know what the Bible says about who you are and whose you are. You don't just need to know the word. You need to know what it says about who you are. With the events of the last 2 weeks, my mind was everywhere. I began to believe the lies of the enemy. You're a woman, you shouldn't be preaching. You're weak. You're not worthy. And I partnered with them until last night when I was laying in bed. And I said, hell no, devil, not today. And I began to say, your word says that when I'm weak, that's when you're strong. When I believed that I wasn't worthy, you said that I was chosen. And I just began to take every lie and with tears in my eyes, and I just began to say it back to the Lord. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. I'm not going to go down. You cannot be defeated if you use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, whatever you choose to look at it, it does not return void. And I loved after Jesus came up out of his baptism, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You see, God immediately spoke identity and affirmation over Jesus. Immediately. And I love that God was affirming Jesus before he ever healed anybody, before he turned water into the wine, before he preached to the thousands and saw people get saved. He affirmed him even before he died on the cross for our sins. And I believe today that we need to move forward from that same place, that place of love and acceptance. And we can't move forward when we're in pursuit of it. We just got to own it. Believe it. You're loved. You're accepted. You're affirmed. You're chosen. God has a purpose for your life. And we're not going to let the enemy steal it. The Bible says that we are in the process of being, the words are being saved. So that encourages me, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I mess up. Oh, nobody else, just me. Okay, great. And when I know that we're being saved, it means I haven't arrived yet. I'm not perfect. There was only one, and it was Jesus. We are in a process of working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And if you will open up your spirit, what ends up happening, nobody ever has to come and bring correction and rebuke you, because the Holy Spirit, 5 minutes later, is busting your chops and saying, come on. That happens to me all the time. I'll be like, oh. I can't believe I just acted that way. So we haven't arrived. And if you find yourself in being like the Apostle Paul that says, you know, I do the things I don't want to do. And I don't do the things I know I should do. Then you're in good company. Your identity, even when you mess up, is still a child of the Most High God. Number three, this is the third thing that you have to do now that you're baptized. You have to resist the devil, and he'll leave you alone. The enemy's attacks are actually temptations. He attacked my mind, and I believed them. The temptation was to believe the lie. And you might have a temptation to react in ways that are not in your comfort zone. Temptation to come out of alignment with the truth. Temptation to do what is right in your own eyes. Jesus reacted to temptation by resisting and submitting to the Father. And that's really what we have to do. The way that we resist is not behavior modification. I know I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. What we do is we submit our lives to the Father. And we allow Him to walk with us and talk with us and change our lives. Luke 4:13 says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. So it's not one and done. Especially when you are in pursuit of the Father, He's going to come after you, and He's going to come after you, and you're going to be tested, and you're going to be tempted, and He's going to come after you. You see, we have to be on guard because He's going to keep trying. And when you do fall, because you will, and I'm not prophesying death over you, it's just who we are. We're not perfect. When we do mess up, you've got to quickly repent, be forgiven, and repent. Repent is a bad word today. Repent isn't like, I'm sorry, God, and then go do it again. It's, I'm sorry, God, help me, remind me, don't let me fall back into that thing. So we have to be forgiven, we have to repent, and then, friends, you've got to give yourself grace. You have to give yourself grace. As long as the enemy allows you to continue to beat yourself up and beat yourself up and you're not worthy and all these things, he's winning. Get up. Dust yourself off because his mercies are new every morning and get going again. Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, I love this scripture. I love a lot of scriptures, but I love this one. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. I ain't perfect, but I'm following the one who is. No. Dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Come on, somebody. We can't let the past haunt us. We're forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling us. It's scripture that is telling us we get up, we dust ourselves off, and we keep moving forward. Y'all know I love John C. Maxwell. He was a pastor, and he's writes leadership books, has leadership podcasts. But one of his quotes that I love so much is, we fail forward to success. Because failure seems like such a bad word. Oh, I don't want to fail. Well, you're going to. So, isn't it better that when we fail, we get up and go, I'm one step closer. When we fall down, we get up and we take another step. I'm getting closer to you, Jesus. I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. We just have to keep resisting. We resist by rest. The enemy wants you to keep trying to be good enough. Earn your salvation. But salvation is a gift. It's a gift. You don't have to earn gifts, right? Parent, everybody in the room has given a gift. Did the person you give a gift to, did they have to earn it? Or was it out of the abundance of your heart? We don't have to earn salvation. We can accept them. We appreciate them. But you cannot earn it, because that would make it a wage. I loved Pastor Jade put this in, and I was like, oh, my word. It was like, it's a wage. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of salvation, is eternal life. Someone needs to hear that today. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, life, life more abundantly. But you see, the enemy wants us scrambling, striving. Any strivers in the house? I got to do it. I just got to keep pushing. I got to do this. What are people going to think? We're striving and we're fighting for peace. We just want peace. But instead of just resting in peace, we fight for it. Sin separates us from God. So what we really have earned and deserve is separation from God. But that's not who He is. He's a good, good Father. He just extends grace and mercy and love. And it always, peace always comes by taking our eyes off the storm and putting them back on Jesus, where they belong. It's what I did last night. I was keeping my eyes on the storm. It has been no joke the last 2 weeks. It's been no joke. No sleep. I'm trying to do everything. I'm trying to ground him and make sure that he's taking care of himself. Then I find out that I got to preach today, and I'm still trying to work, and I'm dealing with my family. Are you kidding me? I felt defeated, and I fixed my eyes on that storm. But last night, I fixed my eyes on him, and I began to speak, take those thoughts captive and speak life. Because here's the deal. God is the author, perfecter, and finisher of your faith. My faith, but your faith. I can't do it for you. Pastor Rich kept praying for me, but he couldn't do it for me. Philippians 4, 6 through 8, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation today. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. And before I read this scripture, I was like, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I'm not very grateful right now. So I began to pray to him little things that I was grateful for. Little. I'm thankful that I opened my eyes this morning. I'm thankful I have a job to go to. I'm thankful that my husband is still here and he didn't bleed out. I'm thankful for a church family who stood in the gap and stepped up and was there for us when I really was losing it. God, I'm grateful. And when you begin to express gratitude, your perspective changes. Offering, let me go back to that. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. Keep your thoughts continuously fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. So I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know where God is finding you today. And I don't know how the enemy's messing with you. But I know He's here. And whatever lie you're believing, come have someone pray with you so that we can agree for the opposite. We agree with the truth. We agree with the word. And maybe you're here today and said, I have never had a relationship like that with anybody, let alone Jesus Christ. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation, and it's so simple. We make it so hard, like, oh my gosh. It's simple. All we have to do is believe and confess. Believe with all of our heart that Jesus, the perfect one, came and died on a cross for my healing, for the forgiveness of my sins, and He rose again. We're not serving a dead God. He's alive, and He lives in us. So if you would just stand. And every head bowed. Actually, no. We're coming out of our comfort zones today. If this message was for you, lift up your hand right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at that, devil. You had me believing that you didn't give me a word. Thank you, Jesus. He's a liar. He's a liar. Keep your hands up because I'm going to pray for you. Actually, I'm going to ask you to step out your comfort zone again. Come to the altar. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Thank you. Look at God. Thank you, Jesus. And you lifted your hands, but now I'm going to ask you to lift your heart. Because it's not about what we do. It's about our heart. So begin to lift your heart. Father, oh, we thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You meet us exactly where we're at. We thank You for Your word. God, You know what every hand and heart, what they're going through. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that You are hovering over them, that You are reminding them who they are. You're reminding them that failure is not final. It's actually failing forward to success. God, that You're reminding them that they are the head and not the tail. They're above and not beneath. God, that You have them seated in heavenly places. God, that You have a plan and a purpose for their life, and nothing that the enemy can do can disrupt that plan. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would comfort every heart today. Every heart that is hurting, that is broken, that is partnered with a lie. Yes. Touch them right, exactly where they're at. And God, I just declare that right now in this season, in this moment, never missed a minute. Never missed a moment. You're always on time, God. And right now, you let them grab hold of the foot of the cross and you do what you promised you were going to do in their life. We seal that right now by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. They're not walking out of here until you bless them, and you bless them indeed.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.